Shoo. Wow, what a good time, huh? Were those songs amazing? They sang them too, didn't they? Like if you took the words of those songs, if we just believe what we sang tonight, we'd probably just go and overtake the earth. That's what I'm thinking. I said to Dave, he said, oh man, and Matt said, you know, about things happening. I said, well, I'm ready to go home. I said, I'm ready to go. He laughed. I said, oh no, I got to preach. What a great time. Something really did come on my heart. I hope you're ready. I want to protect you and guard you in something that came on my heart while we were singing. Wow. Yeah, really open your heart. I want to guard you and protect you in something, okay, so we all run well. I shared with the men today that the goal of the cross is to restore relationship with God. We think the goal of the cross is to take us to heaven when we die. The cross came. Well, we just celebrated on Easter, the motive of God was to get us back to Him. So He could live in us and be one with us, so we could be one with Him. It wasn't just so you get provision and blessing and protection and have security for when you die. That's what we've turned the gospel into. For generations, we've just made it about what we get from Him. And God wants relationship. He wants you to be personal. We sang a song earlier. It was just getting on me, man. And I thought, here we go. I said, Lord, really? And it just, really, like, you have no idea. Like, I just want to preach nice stuff all the time. And I think what I'm going to preach is nice because it'll help and protect us. But it seems corrective a lot of times in a sense. It feels that way to me, but it's not the intention. But we were singing a song about Him never failing us. And about if He never failed me, He's not going to fail me anytime ever because He hasn't failed me yet. And He's talking about failing. And then He says, He won't, He won't, He won't. And I'm just so aware that a lot of people, not saying you, a lot of people don't see that, can't believe that. They're looking at the situations of life, facts, lost loved ones, tragedies, unexpected things, and they actually have a hard time believing He hasn't failed. And if in any way you have a theology that says He failed you, you don't have relationship with Him. Because you're not trusting Him, because you think He failed. You think He let somebody die. You think, well, He allowed it. I know it's not safe to always share your opinions. I know this is recorded, but I'm just going to take a risk. It's been my observation since I've been saved, traveling, and preaching that, well, God allowed it is probably the most damaging phrase I've heard in Christendom. Just putting everything that's happened on God and the responsibility of it and in human assessment, human reasoning, human wisdom, human analogy, come up with a line of thinking that somehow finds fault with Him that allows you to pull back instead of draw near. I promise you, He's never failed anyone. Every promise He's made, see what we do is, we take a faucet of God. We take an attribute of God. We take a promise of God and then we hold Him to it. We don't even realize we're doing it. We got sickness and we just heard a testimony about a man with an eye. I mean, a lot of us, when we hear that testimony, we're happy for the man, but we're like, well, what about the other guy? And why wasn't he healed? And how come he isn't healed yet? And God promised. And see, that's why I get so mad, because God, and we pray and believe, and then people don't even get healed. You ever hear anybody get like that? And they take facts, they assess them in their human wisdom, and somehow identify God through the scenario. The Lord told me a long time back here traveling when we pray for the sick to tell people, listen, the only thing that I want you to do tonight when we pray for you is believe one thing. Just believe one thing. It's all you're allowed to do is what I tell them, and I laugh. I want you to believe that God loves you, and the way you know He loves you, because He sent His Son. If God didn't love you, He'd have never sent His Son. We're quick to say, well, if God loves me, how come? Well, if God loves me, then why? See, God's never failed any of us. I've been using the example a little bit here and there, not a lot, but just a little bit because it's personal and people can relate and they know then I understand if they're in the same situation. In October, my brother just died. He just fell over dead. Like really, literally, his heart just stopped. He was in a butcher shop. He left my yard. We butchered a deer. He was happy. Deer hunters are happy when you butcher a deer. That means you were successful. He couldn't wait to go get his sausage. And he said, I'm going to let it cool and take the meat tomorrow. He made it to the butcher shop and never made it out. He was laughing. Everything was fine. He didn't feel dizzy. He wasn't sick. Nothing was realized, and nobody's expecting it. So out of the blue, I lost my brother. You're going to tell me that God failed me because I miss him? I miss him more right now than when it first happened. I honestly miss my brother more in the last... I haven't talked to anybody about it. I have missed my brother more in the last 2 weeks than I've missed him since it happened. Do you think for a second God failed because of my empathy, my emotions, my sentiment? God gave my brother life through Jesus Christ. Drew him to him, wooed him in the mountains on a lawn chair when he sought God, and God came and revealed himself to him, put his life in him, filled him with the Spirit, forgave him of all his sins, and marked him for eternity. God didn't take my brother, but he did receive him. The details about how it happened, why it happened, I don't know if I can even explain. I just know we're in a war, things can get muddy, and if you don't set your heart on who God is and keep it there, you're going to make a mistake in the midst of loss and things that matter to you and things you care about. And the other thing is, they become targets. And people don't even want to talk about that. But if there's something in your life that determines you loving God, I promise you that's a target.
Come on, man. Come on.
Because your love is conditional. You don't even have a covenant. You have a busboy, a table waiter. You have somebody to serve you, not to father you. If I can lose my brother and change my view of God because of the loss of my brother in his natural life, when to be absent from the body is present with the Lord, and Paul says it's actually greater, that my brother's in a greater state, you're going to say that I'm going to have a wisdom that alters my view of God just because I miss him? Not today. Tomorrow it ain't going to work either. And I'm being honest and telling you, I miss him more now than I missed him when it happened. I miss him a lot, but it's not something I feel like I even have to cry about, because I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died on that cross and my brother didn't die. He's just not here. And I'm going to change my mind and prove that my relationship is conditional and that God has the ability to mess up and miss it according to my desires, my preferences, and my want-tos? No. So we should be able to sing that song with boldness. I'm singing that song loud because he didn't fail. If my brother isn't in heaven, then he failed. If he stands before God and gets judged for his former sins, then God failed. But none of those things happened. You get it? If he doesn't have everlasting life, then God didn't tell the truth. But he does. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. He didn't say we don't grieve. We don't grieve as if we have no hope. And I'm just telling you plainly, healing's one of them. Well, I've been prayed for. Well, I don't know why I'm not healed. Look, I understand. I don't have all the answers for all that. I just know he's good. I know he paid for it. I know if we walk in righteousness, I know if we believe he forgives us, we don't forget his benefits. He forgives all my sin. He heals all my disease. We get technical. We run it through the analytical process. And in human reasoning, we assess it all, and somehow we come out finding God guilty where we don't totally trust him, because why am I still sick? Well, why wasn't I healed? Well, why didn't I get the job? Well, why don't they change? I've been praying for them to change for 10 years. Why haven't they changed? Well, you're probably praying for them to change for your sake. I mean, you pray amiss your own lusts and desires and they don't get answered. It says that in James. You might be praying for your sake. If they get changed, your day's better. Come on, God. Change them. Don't get tricked into this stuff. Let's stop loving our own lives, and let's not love our own lives unto death. It's the only way to be a Christian, if I'm reading my Bible clear. The only way you overcome is through the blood and the word. the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our own lives unto death. Now, we forget that third one, but that third one's what makes the first two valid and powerful. Because if all you're doing is pleading the blood and the word of your testimony for your sake, then you won't see the power of those first two. As powerful as they are, you won't see the manifestation of them in your life, or James when they wrote what he wrote. Are you hearing me? Come on, if God has to heal me to prove his love for me, then I haven't seen his love through the cross. So I'll never be rooted and grounded in love. So circumstances is always going to be the barometer, and my life with God's going to go like this. How can I be rooted and grounded in love if one circumstance in life can challenge his love? How can faith ever work through love if I'm still trying to figure it out? Now I'm just another man driven by need. And of course I pray and it sounds spiritual, but my motive is need, not covenant, not trust. Somehow we got tricked into handling our relationship like him the same way we do with one another. It's amazing. He says, don't put your trust in any flesh. You got to put all your trust in him. You don't lean on your own understanding. It's amazing how you can just process long enough to think you're right concerning him. And you got all your facts laid out to where it's actually a one argument in your own soul. So now nobody's even teaching you. You're defending what you've processed. Because you've missed your brother, you know how you feel, you've lost your spouse, and you're the one that's been alone, and all of a sudden it's just you're there, and it gets so blurry. You be very careful with that. Because I promise you, he's only guilty of being good. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Don't you forget you were ungodly. Don't you forget that God didn't change his mind about you, that you never broke his trust, that his love never failed. That no matter how far you ran, how long you ran, and how many times you ran, he left your purpose right there, available. And we're not going to get something we've been praying for, contending for, we call it. And now God's identity can change in our eyes because we've processed it. Don't you do that to yourself. And please don't do that to him. Because you're going to find one day you were way deceived. That you got tricked into turning on the only one that's truly good. He has promised us everlasting life. My brother's beyond fine. I thought of this. I thought this is really amazing thought. If God would send somebody like that back. Just like people say, I'm passionate. You have no clue. I am so calm. No, look, if the Lord would send somebody like that back for 3 minutes, probably less, because I don't think we could bear 3 minutes. You send him back with a mic and beam him in front of us for 3 minutes to talk from the reality of the presence of God and transferring from absent from body, present with the Lord, you would never cry with true sorrow again and grieve without hope ever again. If one of those people would just come back for 3 minutes and just, it would burn us alive. We'd be like, duh. It's just true. And that's why we have to live by faith. Just way too much sensuality, emotion, sentiment rules over faith in our lives. Just way too much. Don't let that happen to you. I'm not saying that's happening to you. I'm saying way too much. Don't let that happen to you. Don't lose a loved one. Don't lose a spouse. And then think on God long enough to come up with some way that he's not faithful. If he's guilty of sending his son while we were yet sinners. A lot of people have changed their mind about God along the way. That means you never saw him clear in the first place. I saw a title of an article the other day. faith that changes in trial was never faith at all. Sometimes we think quoting scripture is faith. Sometimes quoting scripture is despair. Sometimes we pray because we're freaked out and afraid. Sometimes the greatest evidence of seeing is not even praying at all. Just smiling in your heart and understanding. Because you don't even see anything to pray about. I'm just telling you, we've got prayer and desperation mixed up. Can you pray for me? Could you pray for me? Please pray for me. Prayer lines, prayer change. There's a place for prayer. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there is a place for prayer. But not the way we primarily use it. Usually, prayer that we pray is moved by problem. Moved by concern. Moved by fear. Moved by worry. Rarely is prayer just a declaration of what you really believe through Him. Rarely is prayer just communion with God. Thank you, Father. Wow. What would I do without covenant? Oh my goodness. Thank you. Yes. And you know what you're saying thankful for. It's poo, and He knows, and it's powerful. Am I making sense? So we were singing, and I heard this in my heart that not everybody can trust God because of the things that have happened in our lives. I don't know if my wife remembers this. When we got saved, it wasn't long in. I opened up our home for a home group. She was supportive. We had it open for a little over a year. I wasn't pastoring yet. I was in my bedroom for a long time that afternoon before home group. That was a little dangerous. These poor folks didn't know what they were coming to. The house was full. There was nowhere for me hardly to stand. There was so many people in our house that night. They were sitting in front of the chairs, Indian style, the younger ones, and there was people up our steps and even out in our dining room. It was a very full house. There was nowhere to park outside. It was a little troubling. So I get in there. We're worshiping the Lord, and I'm going to share a word. So I get in the middle, and I can't really, it didn't seem right to stand. It was so crowded, I couldn't hardly move, so I just got down on my knees. And I just preached from my knees, because I could see up the steps. I was preaching, and I could spin, and it just seemed personal. It was close, and I was on my knees preaching. I had a button shirt, like a golf shirt type thing that I wear a lot in the summer. It was buttoned down. I had been praying, and I saw something that day in my heart that was like, whoa. It was so purpose-filled. Had nothing to do with empathy, sentiment, human stuff. Had nothing to do with that. Yet it doesn't disregard family and spouse and children. You're not saying you don't care. We're not hoping for the worst. That's crazy. But this is what came out of my heart in the home group. And they came because God was moving a lot, and I was ministering a lot in those days, which wasn't the healthiest thing. Rather than teaching and training and equipping, I was just letting God flow through me and having a blast. And people like that. No, I'm not. I'm not going to pray for everybody. But I was in those days. The Lord talked to me about it. And He asked, who am I empowering? Who am I training and equipping and teaching what a believer is? But that night in that home group, I remember getting so overwhelmed and passionate because I saw this thing so clear. It's not that I'm saying I don't care about my family, but I looked at my wife and I said, do you see that girl? That's the wife of my youth. That's my wife. I said, but you strip her from me. I looked over at my children or pointed to where they were and said, and you take those two children out of my life, burn down this house and take the shirt off my back. And I was so intense. I remember snapping buttons. They just flew. And I said, you can't stop me now. And everybody's looking at me like, brother, I don't know if we came for that sermon. Because that list you just ripped off, that's the whole reason I am a Christian. For the well-being of all that list. See, if you're a Christian for the well-being of that list, I'm not saying to believe for the well-being of that list. But if you're a Christian for the well-being of that list, you're in trouble if something even looks threatened. And you're shipwrecked already in faith if something even looks threatened. And I'll tell you what, you got God at bay and He better not fail you. Oh, I've seen people totally give up on God because of the loss of a loved one. I've seen people give up on God because of a layoff of a job, because they were praying they wouldn't and they did. I know a lot of people from back then that don't even live Him now because of life. Can I be real? And they got a story. And you don't know what I've been through and what happened. And I prayed and God was, and He didn't. And they hear the words of that song, and all that rushes them is the case they've built against Him. And the whole time they don't even realize God's too big to build a case against them. That when He had a total case against them, He dropped it and sent His Son. When they said they'd be faithful and weren't, He forgives it and gives them another chance. When they say they will and don't, He doesn't bat an eye and change their potential in His sight. Are you with me? I ripped my buttons off my shirt. I said, you take her, you take them, you burn down this house, you take the shirt off my back. I finally see why He's in me and why I'm here, and none of those facts will change the truth. That's what I was trying to say. None of those facts will change the truth. Because if any of those things happen, I'm no less called, no less anointed, He's no less Lord, and I have no less purpose. But if I let one of those things that happen start determining my destiny, my identity, my potential, and I start weighing it against the validity of God and the trustability of God and the beauty of God and the infallibility of God, then I'm deceived. And now I can't even trust Him because I don't see Him clear. And if you don't trust Him, you're not having intimacy with Him. You're not having relationship. If you look at a faucet of God, I was in Denver. I was doing a Power and Love. I went to lunch with a guy. I didn't even know he was used to be a pastor, used to be. It was still in his heart, but he stopped pastoring. He left his church. He didn't even go to church anymore. He kept saying, God kept saying, go to this meeting, go to this Power and Love. He didn't want to go. He said it was so strong and I just went. So he just came. So we're talking in the car. He's telling me his whole story the whole way to Subway. And he's telling me, I gave up. I just stopped with God. I said, if you're not going to be faithful, then I'm not going to serve. I said, what are you talking about? He doesn't know I'm intense. He doesn't know I'm passionate. He doesn't even know who I am. Good. But he's talking way too much. Yeah. And he's just giving it all away. And I'm just letting him talk. And the whole time he's talking, just coming out, I'm about to take off his head. He's telling me he don't pastor because I went out on the streets and God said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed. That I go into all the, so I started right here in my own Jerusalem. So I went out, I prayed for a couple people that they'd be healed. Nothing changed. I went home, I threw my Bible down. I said, well, that's it. If I'm going to go out there and do my part and you're not going to be faithful and do your part, well, then I ain't going to preach. I ain't going to pray for nobody. And I'm not doing this. I said, is that you? Really? You did that? Well, yeah, because I did my part. He didn't do his. Can you hear how tricked he is? He doesn't have relationship. He doesn't have covenant. God's just a mere principle. It's very impersonal. And what he's saying is, the moment you don't do what you said you do, in my eyes, we're done. Wonder if God said that to people. That's how you know it's not cool. But in his mind, Dave, it was so rational. It was so built up. And I'm thinking, Lord. So I didn't even say much. I'm just listening. And I'm like, what? I was in the car with another pastor of Power and Love. We were heading to lunch. And you know what that pastor said? Oh, I don't even read my Bible. He said, every time I read my Bible, it just reminds me how many times God's failed. Because he's reading every promise literal, and he's looking at the outfolding outcomings of life factually and weighing it against God. No relationship, no covenant, no communion union with prayer, no awareness of Holy Spirit, just a rigid, knowledge-filled, deceived, okay, read my Bible. Oh, you're going to do this and this. So you're just challenging God every day and don't even realize you're challenging God. Like God could just fail you from the time you wake up because of the way you're reading His Word. A pastor. I said, why are you pastoring? It was a weird answer. I won't even share it. I hammered that pastor so hard in the car. I had that guy crying in 5 minutes. It was good. The Lord came on me. I said, you need to pull in a lot or something. We got to talk. You got me wrecked right now. Just park. He said, what? Well, we're going up here for lunch. No, I'm not ready for lunch. Just go park. Pull in a parking lot somewhere. Because you're not going to be able to drive in a minute. Park. No, I'm not joking. Man. Talk about cutting his head off. I just trusted God will grow him a new one. Or just stick Jesus on there because he's the head. Just let him be a body. Look, here's your biggest problem. You don't need it anymore. Isn't it something? Two-headed monster don't look good. There's one head and we're thinking way too much. Way, way, way too much. We go into Subway and I'm still like, oh my goodness, this guy. But see, it was such a setup. It's the Lord. Who knows that if we move in gifting, it's not because we're awesome. Who knows if we move in gifting, it's because God's moving and he lets us see. Who knows if you wouldn't, if God didn't let you see, you'd see nothing. If God wouldn't let you know, you'd know nothing. But we gravitate a little too much towards gifting and think, whoa, you're so, whoa. Are you kidding? He's whoa. Like nobody has anything unless it's been given. Whoa, that's spooky. Dude, how do you hear so clear? Because he spoke clear. But we spiritualize it and we make it the individual. We really do. I've watched it my whole Christian life and it freaks me out a little bit. I don't even share testimonies anymore. I don't share testimonies. People say, well, you should share. Nope, because people relate them to you, not to how they can live. Nobody's heard me share a fresh testimony for a long time from the pulpit. It's on purpose. We go in Subway. I love Subway. Subway's from the Lord. In my opinion. I mean, I receive everything with thanksgiving, so it's good. Yay. I walk up there, I'm looking, I decide what I'm going to get. Hi! And I said, hey, there wasn't really anybody in there. Got the pastor behind me. He said, go ahead. I'm going to see what I want. I don't even know what I want. I'm not thinking anything about what he told me. I'm not trying to minister to him. Nothing. I'm just getting my sandwich, and I pick my bread. And the Lord goes, whoa. I said, hey, you. I said, you were in an accident not quite 3 years ago. It's a little under 3 years. Messed you up pretty bad. You feel it right now. It's especially down the left. Wow. What? I said, no, listen. Shh. It's going to get way better. Give me your hand. Just give me your hand. You know, okay. Father, I just thank you for your love for her in Jesus. She goes, oh my God, what are you doing? I said, I'm not doing anything. I promise. It's not me. Jesus loves you so much. She said, sir, I'm 2 months shy of 3 years. The accident, I've been carrying this thing for almost 3 years. I'm 2 months shy of 3 years. How did you know? I said, he knows everything. Honey, he loves you so much. And he just spoke that to me. And I know the 2 years and 10 months is 2 years and 10 months. But man, today, it's one of them but God. Today, whew, I said, check it. She said, it's like I feel God. It's like, I said, yeah, I'm sure you do. And she said, and she said, oh my goodness, stand right here. She runs back. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to stand here. You didn't even make my sandwich yet. She runs back. She gets this little girl. This little girl, she pulls her out from the back. It's little, she looked like a teenager. She's got a spider web tattoo on her whole neck with a black widow in the middle of it, right around her Adam's apple. And you see that stuff. You can't not see it. It's there. And I'm like, whoa. Now, if it would have walked up and started spinning. But it was just sitting there. But I saw it. I was like, whoa. I didn't think much of it. She said, can you pray for her? She's so scared. She's got so many pains in her body. She doesn't know what it is. She's afraid to get it checked out. She's thinking it's some terminal. She's just so freaked out and afraid. She just has head to toe pain, head to toe all the time. I watch her. She's trying to work. She's crying. I catch her crying. Could you pray for her? I said, honey, you hurt like that? She said, this man just told me about my accident. So now she's cheering her on. And I'm like, is it okay if I pray with you? Will you let me? She said, I said, come on, give me your hand. I reach up over the counter. She takes my hand. She just starts whimpering and sobbing. I said, it's okay. He loves you so much. Every pain come out of her in Jesus' name. She's like, oh my. I said, check it, really check it. She's crying. She's saying there's nothing. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I said, isn't that good? Well, now like two people are coming in. I said, girls, this is amazing, but we're going to have to, we got to make some sandwiches. So they start making sandwiches, working together. They're all giddy. This guy comes out from the back to work the register. I said, hey, man, hey, he's listening the whole time. I said, hey, man, how'd you? He said, I'm fine. I'm just fine. No, he took three steps back and he said, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I said, well, good, man. Good. I said, put us on together. We run over, sit down. Pastor slides in. I look up. He's sobbing. He said, God's ministering to me today. He said, you picked me out of that whole room and said, I feel like I'm to go to lunch with you. And you didn't even know my story. You didn't even know anything I told you on the way. You knew nothing. I didn't want to go to lunch with you. Well, that really made me feel bad. I had to get over all that pain. Am I messing up? He's crying. He's sobbing and he's crying. He said, I went out on them streets and held God to his word. I forgot the most important thing. I forgot to take love. Come on. I thought, let him cry. Don't even stop him for a while. I just let him cry. Oh, man, did he cry. You know why? His Holy Spirit was illuminating all that deception. Why? To mark him to never, ever go there again. Just setting him free. He's just sobbing. Wasn't a cry of regret. Oh, my goodness, I let go of my church. Well, no, he was just glad to see. And he was crying and crying. So as soon as the girls made the other two sandwiches, the people that walked in, guess what they did? Soon as they got done the sandwiches, the young man was ringing them up and they're like, can we sit down? We said, sure, sit down. They had a million questions in a few moments. Wanted to know everything that happened, wanted to understand, wanted it all explained. And we just shared the kingdom and poured out who God is, how God is, how he wants to live in them. We prayed with them again. They were like, yeah, we want to live this way. We want to give our lives to Jesus. And they both knew what born again was. They both had church backgrounds. The young girl with the spider web came from a peculiar background and was going through a season of making an opposite statement. And Jesus is not repulsed by her. He's not, look at her. Look what she did to her neck. I give her one neck. I just give her one neck. And look what she did to the one neck I gave her. I gave her one neck. Yeah, that's why I'm called Neck Ministries. So he actually gave her two necks. No. That's not why I'm called Neck Ministries. Isn't it amazing God's not repulsed by her? Isn't it amazing he's not judging her? Isn't it amazing he's not there to correct her, that he actually took every pain out of her body when in fact, positionally, works-wise, she doesn't deserve a thing, probably. Except for mercy triumphs over what you earned, what you deserve, and what you didn't earn. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Watch this. It's impossible for God to fail. He sent his son, Roy. While we were yet sinners, he so loved us. He gave you the promise of life. He said, honey, I'll remember your sins no more. We got to stay there and see God there and not let an attribute of life or an attribute of God challenge that. Well, yeah, then how come I'm not healed? Well, if he's faithful, I prayed. Why didn't stop? First of all, your attitude's freaking me out. How about trying humility?
Yes.
Instead of challenge. You're not even asking a question. You're making a statement. Because you've already assessed this thing. You already have your answer, but your answer is destroying you, cutting off your relationship, and never producing life. Why are you so adamant to stay where you're dying? Come on. Even people that are justified in their mind to their frustration, I've never seen anybody flourish in frustration. You can't tell me the season of frustration was a blessing. I'm just being real. But yet, because we have it justified, we feel like we got to stay there. Same thing we do with God's identity. And we look at him through human eyes. We look at him through human wisdom and reasoning. And then when we sing a song, so phenomenal tonight, great job. You guys took that thing out there like, bam. Like, didn't they take it like to where it could go? Like, I was like, I didn't even know it could go there. I was like, yay. I mean, you're singing it and then you go, that song's great. Anyway, he won't. Isn't it good to believe that?
Yes.
Wonder if I have a different response because of my brother's situation. Wonder if I can't sing that. I'm the one being robbed. Because he's everything we're singing.
Yes.
He gave us life through Jesus Christ. My brother is so okay. I miss him. Man, I miss him. We did all kinds of things together. So there's nothing I can do that doesn't remind me of him. So it's got to stir me in thankfulness.
Yes.
And thank him for the 60 years that I did have him. And thank him for the eternal life. And I know this in my heart. If my brother could pop back here for 3 minutes, he ain't even a preacher. He told me, I can't believe you do what you do and stand up in front of a lot of people. I'm just so not like that. I can't believe. I said, well, you do it in your own ways because you have a message and you do it with individuals. And my brother was starting to reach out to people, talk to people, pray for people, help people behind the scenes and in all kinds of ways. Total strangers. It was fun. He'd tell me these stories. I'm like, that's my brother doing that. But I'll tell you what, he's a preacher now. He's got something to say. Like if he could come for just 3 minutes, it would be too much probably for our hearts to bear. Because he'd be talking straight from the reality of communion and fellowship and the presence of Almighty God. And it would be like he would make us feel like, why would I ever cry in sorrow again? Why would I ever not be thankful? Down and out? Are you kidding me? I'm living by faith. You get it? So let's not miss this thing. The other part was the faucet of God. Let's not break down God into faucets of who he says he is and then hold him so accountable on one of those things that you haven't seen work out the way you were hoping in your life and then mark him for that. Please don't do that. Don't stereotype God. I actually feel like I'm camping here not just to protect you. I feel like there's some people that really need to hear this. I just got that right there. That just came to me. That wasn't my intention, and I didn't think that until just now. But I actually feel like the reason I can't move forward or go anywhere else is because God wants to turn a few people's hearts so that they don't get robbed of the relationship that he paid for. Because no matter what you think of him, he loves you. He didn't fail you, and he didn't kill your loved one or sit flagrantly by and do-do-do-do-do and watch it happen. I can't explain how all that works. I just know we're in a war, and let's not make him the enemy. We sang a song about the winds and the rains, but the house was built on him. If you read your Bible, the same storm came to the wise and the foolish. The same storm to the wise and the foolish. It isn't because the foolish, it isn't because the wise opened the door. I just don't know what door I opened. Stop. Troubles come, things come, trials, troubles, there's tribulations. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In me, you got peace, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, if you overcome the world, why I got tribulation? He's not talking about trouble going away. He's talking about a way to see it and handle it and walk through it. How can you count it all joy? We said it today, when you walk through various trials and troubles. Romans 5, and not only this, we glory in our tribulation. I'm saved 27 years. I've been in a leadership position. It's just the way it's worked out for 25 of those 27 years, probably 26 of those 27 years in reality, because a home group leader, altar ministry. I've been kind of in front of people since I've been saved. I don't know very many Christians that have ever lived Romans 5, glory in their tribulations, and understand what it means. I see people ask for prayer in tribulations. Are we okay? I just see people cry and ask for prayer and share what's going on with them, and they're praying for it to change. But if it doesn't change, now their mind's really spinning, because I thought God loved me, and why did it change? How long do we have to pray, and when's it going to change, and what are we doing wrong, and what do we need to do to get it to change? And it may never change. The trial may never change. He never said you're not going to have trials. He said you are. He said darkness is going to cover the earth. Deep darkness, the people. He's given you a heads up. But don't let that decide who you are and how you are and who I am, because the light is on you. So darkness is covering the earth. Deep darkness, the people. Don't get freaked out. Don't get changed by that. Get changed by me. And just keep shining. Don't let where people aren't decide where you are. That's what he's saying. And he just gives us all these warnings. I share it all the time. You've probably heard me share it way too many times. He never put Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's fire out.
Come on.
He never stopped it from coming. And the whole goal of the fire was to get them to love their own life and compromise their commitment to God. And get them to fear for their own life and do something against their conscience and bow to something they knew wasn't God just to survive. And they said, there's no way. And he said, well, if you don't bow to me, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. You know what our faith says in today's Christianity? Well, I'll just pray that God just doesn't ever let it burn. That God will just strike him or change his mind. And then when we're ready to go in the furnace, we're like, oh God, this is midnight hour. You better show up soon. Well, according to your declaration, your faith, he's already here. Nothing. The fact that you're going into the fire doesn't change what you're standing for. See, they said to the king, he said, well, then I'm going to put you in the fire. They said, what's your fire to us, king? We don't even need to answer you in this matter. It ain't about the fire. It's about our commitment to truth. And if it costs our lives, so be it. But we ain't compromising and bowing to your 90-foot image. It's idolatry. He's the Lord. And the king was enraged. And you know, they answered, they said, nevertheless, O king, God surely will deliver us from your fire. Boy, that's a slap in the spiritual face, isn't it? First they say, look, we don't even need your fire. It don't move us, bud. 7 times, 14 times, 1 time. It don't matter. 7 times hotter is probably a favor. 1 time might have been a slow burn. 7 times it was so hot when the door opened, the king's men got toasted. Read the story. Read the story. The king's servants took the boys down, bound head and foot. They can't see. They look like mummies. They're bound head to foot. They're going into the fire for not submitting to Nebuchadnezzar. That's how the devil works. He just gets you to love your own life and to fear and get sentimental and full of empathy and try to hit so close to home that your heart falls apart and you lose sight of truth because you're so consumed with how you feel. Is that too mean, or is that just straight up and raw? That's how he works. Read your Bible. You say, but I prayed. Why are we going? I prayed. Oh my God, I can't believe God. God, I can't believe it's going this far. What did we do wrong? Where did we miss it? You see how he works? He wants to push you to the brink and get you to compromise. He don't believe you love God. He believes you need God. He believes you know you need God, but he's out to prove you don't love God. Because let your life go apart from what you need and your true colors will shine. He says that to God in the book of Job. He says every man will do anything to save his own life. Job ain't special. You just blessed him. You hedged him in on every side. You made him fat in the land. You tell me he's more righteous and special than any other man? God, you just hedged him in and made him fat in the land. Can you imagine the devil talking like that to God? God said Job was different. Who knows Job is different? If God said he's different, he's different. You know what the devil does? He comes up with a way to prove he's not. That's how he gets people to think and Christians to think and even accuse God. You know, he accuses the brethren to God, but I'll tell you what I see him do more than anything. He accuses God to the brethren. If God's good, if he's really good, why'd he let your brother die? As much as you loved your brother, now here you are missing him. And then the more you miss him, the more you question God. The more you miss your spouse, the more you question God. Now you're in your bed lonely and crying. Instead of having communion and allowing Holy Spirit to hold you, you're mad at God for being alone. Oh, come on, can I say it straight? That's what happens to people. They're going in that fire. It freaks me out. The story freaks me out because nobody will ever give me the answer to this. But they're going up to the door and the two guards that are throwing them in open the door and they're toasty bacon. They're done. As soon as the door opens, the king's decree was so urgent. That's what it says. And the fire so intense that when the door opened, both the guards were consumed. But you still got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing there. How'd they get in? Who put them in? Jesus. I'm sure of it. I think Jesus walked up there so excited. He said, look at these guys, old covenant, don't even understand the blood, the cross. They don't have a Bible, but they are committed and they don't even love their own life unto death. That's why they're going to live. And I'm not only going to let them live, I'm going to rock this king and change his whole mind and world. And I just believe that Jesus kicked him in. They're bound head to foot. Nobody can get close to the door that's not in covenant. So you got two toasted guards. You got Nebuchadnezzar freaked out. And you got three boys bound head to foot. What's going on? What happened? I don't know. I can't see. Neither can I. They don't even know. I don't even think they felt the heat. Jesus said, this is going to be amazing. I've been waiting for believers. I've been waiting for people to not love their own life unto death. He pushes them in, and then he jumps in. And he never puts out the fire. Why? He's Lord over the fire. So if he would have put out the fire, it's to suggest that the fire's the problem. And if the fire doesn't go out, we still have trouble. No, no, no. If you let the fire change what you see and believe in your commitment and your surrender, then we got a problem. Oh my. So we should be fireproof. We shouldn't be praying for no fire. We shouldn't be praying for better circumstances. We should be praying for a greater revelation. So that in the middle of any circumstance, we're fireproof. And Satan's trying, seeking an opportune time, and the word of God and covenant and loving out your own life is guarding and protecting you. And all of a sudden, the more he touches you, the more you manifest Christ. And now, he's driven to steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy. But every time he touches you, you manifest Christ, love him more and know him more. Oh my goodness. But his impulse is to steal, kill. If we really understood this, I heard my buddy Todd say this and it freaked the whole congregation out. He said, man, I can't wait till we get to heaven. I can't wait till that day. It says we're going to look at the devil and say, this is the one that wreaked havoc upon the nations. It's him. Because we're going to see him for as he really is. And we'll be in the light. He said, man, I think I'm just going to go over and give him a monster hug, man. And I'm going to say, dude, thank you for all you've done in my life. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be where I am. And I understood what he was saying. A lot of people were like, what? You're going to hug the devil? Jesus is standing in the middle of the 7-time hotter flames, and he looses his boys right in the middle of Nebuchadnezzar's best shot. The story's there for a reason. It's not just to teach you when you're in Sunday school or VBS. It's for when you're an adult, you actually believe its message. It's not to entertain you in Sunday school. Sorry. But you're going to tell me all these crazy stories when I'm a kid. And then I'm old enough to believe him. And you're going to tell me to use wisdom. I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Yeah, but brother, I mean, we all have feelings. And sometimes he's, stop. Just stop. You're too late. I'll get out my sword. Jesus is in the fire, Roy, with his boys. It's raging. And they don't even know it. Why? They never took their eyes off of what they believe. The whole goal of the wind and the rain coming to the house is to destroy what God's building. It doesn't even say anything about the occupant. It's trying to destroy the building. And every time you take assault, personal, life personal, circumstance personal, death personal, loss personal, everything that God was building crashes to the ground. And you never become what you heard. And one day we might just stand and find if that never changes, we could be found a foolish man. I don't want that. I want to know Jesus is in the middle of the fire. And it's Nebuchadnezzar's best shot. And he ain't putting the fire out because he ain't one bit intimidated by it. And here's the greatest part. Once they came out of the fire, because Nebi looks in there and goes, hey, how many did we throw in? Didn't we throw 3 in there? VeggieTales is the best. The little squash guy, he's like, yeah, boss. He said, but there's 4 in there and the 1 is really shiny. He's a big pickle. He's got a big old wart.
Hey, how many people did we throw? Did we throw 3 in there?
Yeah, boss. But there's 4. And 1's really shiny. He says, Jack, Rack, Benny, come out of there. That's VeggieTales. It's good. They come out of there. Now, the king misses it because the decree was anybody that doesn't bow to him, they're getting thrown in the fire. So now he changes his decree and says, anybody that doesn't worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny gets thrown into the fire. But we're making progress. At least Nebi's not Lord anymore. He never put out the fire. Learn from it. Your circumstance isn't your challenge. It's what you believe about who you're called to be, created to be in the midst of it, and who God is, and keeping that solid. Your biggest challenge is living by faith. Your biggest challenge is not letting things that change, change you. It's your biggest challenge is to walk out truth. To fight the... Well, I've been fighting the devil. Probably the wrong battle. You fight the devil by submitting to God. You fight the devil by fighting the good fight of faith. When you're living in faith, you already beat up the devil. Because he already got beat up by the Lord. When you love not your own life unto death, you overcome. When you deny yourself and pick up your cross, you're following Jesus. I'm not being mean right now, but nothing less is Christianity. Nothing less. We've just made it less. We've made it blessings, provision. Oh, Lord, touch me. Give me a new job. Yay, I got the promotion. Praise the Lord. I'm not against all those things, but they're minors. Like getting the new job and going to work and living Christ is the priority. Living Christ when you don't get the job. Not what did we do wrong? I thought we prayed in faith. You can't tell me we didn't have a mustard seed. Oh, I've heard that one. We've been praying and praying and they still died. You can't tell me one of us didn't have a mustard seed. I said, stop, you're going in the wrong direction. I had to pastor that so many times in my life. I wish we'd see a whole lot more results. I really do. But the trouble is, when we don't see results, we come to conclusions. And we always have to answer the questions of our troubled hearts. But our answers are usually at the cost of truth. And that's a problem, because truth's what makes you free. Now we're even more deceived because we're so busy answering perplexing questions instead of building on the things we know. And what we know is He's good. And what we know is He can't fail. And what we know is He's faithful. That's what we know. My brother just fell over, but that's what I know. My mom was sick for 40 years, but that's what I know. And when I tell you my brother just fell over in October, my mom was sick for 40 years, you can't see that in my passion. You're not supposed to. They came out of the fire, and there was no smell of smoke. There was no singeing. There was no burning. What's it saying? As if they were never in the fire. And if you make the fire the problem, you're already burned. If you make the fire the issue, you're already caught up in flames. But if you make no compromise in manifesting Him and walking in the light as He's in the light, that fire ain't got nothing on your life. You've been praying and praying, you haven't been healed, and your mind wants to spin, and I don't even always have the answers for you, right? We don't sometimes have the answers, Pastor, right? We don't have to feel like we have to come up with one. People say, why aren't people healed? That is such a broad question. There could be a lot of answers in a lot of situations. Why is bad things happen to good people? Big question. Sometimes we ought to let go of those things we can't wrap our mind around and understand so that we don't compromise the things we're supposed to know. Because when you get too many unanswered questions piling up, it'll cloud over the thing you always knew. That's what happens to people. Are you with me?
Yeah.
If you can't trust the Lord and you don't believe He's good and faithful and never fails, you won't have the intimacy and relationship that He paid for. That's the point of tonight. If you hold God accountable for a faucet of God, for an attribute of God, and you find something He promised, and you got your little promise book, and all of a sudden you're taken account of, and the pastor says, I can't even read my Bible. It just reminds me how many times God failed. Wow. Please don't ever let your heart go there. Because if you believe He failed, you won't have relationship with Him. You're like the dominant figure in the union. And God's servant to you. And now He has to comply and pass every one of your tests. And that is not our relationship with the Lord. And it's only, forgive me, it's only the fall of man and the pride of fallen man that could even consider that true. That God failed. I've seen Christians mad at God and they think they got their reasons. And it's ludicrous. I've heard pastors say, look, we've all gotten mad at God at some point. I don't even want the ability. Don't tell me I've been mad at God. I don't even know what you're talking about. I was a year and maybe I have a year old in the Lord and I'm tearing buttons off my shirt saying, take my wife, kids, burn down my house and my shirt, and you can't change it now. Don't tell me I've been mad at God. My mom died. I'm not mad at God. My brother died. I'm not mad at God. I had a dysfunctional childhood. My daddy was an alcoholic. I'm not mad at God. Do I look mad at God? He's amazing. And He's faithful.
Yay.
You going to believe that with me tonight? You stay in this place. You keep God right where He belongs. He's good. He's faithful. And His promises are true. Understand this. We're all growing up into Him. We don't see everything clear. Sometimes what feels like faith has other things motivated in behind it. I'm not trying to make things complicated. I'm just saying that stay on the humble side. We're learning, we're growing, and we're coming to the knowledge of Him. Who knows that's true? So just because I prayed something and said I believe it and I didn't see it, let's stop saying, well, I believe. Well, it has to be something else because I believe. Let's stop saying then it has to be on God's end. Let's just say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand. I don't even know what's going on. I've watched friends and people pass in my life. It's painful because you want to see them healed. You want to see their body change. You don't want their spouse to lose their spouse. I've been in a lot of that in my life. And if I didn't have this thing I'm preaching to you really clear, I'd probably be a mess right now and have changed my theology. But man, I'm passionate about what I believe. I'm going to keep on praying. We had fun. We saw the sick healed. Didn't we? I had men come up and tell me testimonies. Share. One guy, I don't think he's here. I think it was Josh the plumber. He ain't here, is he? Josh the plumber. Is he here? I think he left. He's from out of town. He had another friend with him. He was praying for a guy that wouldn't know if he was healed, if he was healed. That little first thing we did. And he blew up his knees years ago, fell 16 feet and landed on his feet. Free-falled 16 feet and landed on his feet. Messed his knees up ever since. They've never been the same. They're all boogered up. He laid hands on the man. I said, lay hands on him and say, be whole in Jesus' name. He laid hands and said, be whole. And both his knees went, poof, poof. And he went, huh? He said, what? What? He was so excited telling me the testimony. He was like, dude, my knees were messed up. And I'm just walking around going, what? I mean, it was just fun. He's just praying for somebody. See? You know, there's a humility factor there. You could say, well, why should I pray for him when my knees been messed up all these years and I ain't never been healed? And you let rationale kick in and keep you from where you're called. Man reaches out and puts his hand on him. See, people say, well, I don't pray for the sick because I'm sick. Well, that's the reason you should pray for the sick. Because you don't ever want to let being sick decide what you believe. You got to let the word decide what you believe. So if you believe, you lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say unless you're sick. The fact that you're sick ought to give you more motivation, because what you're saying is, I'm making a statement. Whether I'm sick or not, I believe he's a healer and I'm praying for the sick. And pray for the sick. Yeah, or less. Probably even less than 10 seconds. Don't pray a long time. We say we just pray for the sick since we're talking about it. I bet he comes. I bet he's already here. You want to pray for the sick? You watch and see what he does in this room. Because he's here and he's good. And he's faithful. And ain't nothing nobody can do to stop it. You can work up as much as unbelief as you want. I got the mic and I'm a preacher and I'm a believer. So you can work up the unbelief if you want. But I wouldn't suggest you do that. Oh, no, I'm just having fun. You want to pray for the sick tonight? Let's do it. I'm as good as these guys are. I'm not going to call them up. I don't want any music right now. There's a reason. Because we don't need atmosphere. Atmosphere is beautiful. I love atmosphere. I've been in atmosphere. And atmosphere, there's a place for it. And it's fun. But most of the time, you don't have that atmosphere. Most of the time you have your feelings, you have your second guesses, you have somebody else's looks, you have somebody else. Most of the time you stop somebody in a parking lot to pray for them, you don't have these guys in a fold-out box. I said to Jeremiah and them guys, I said, honey, I shrunk the worship team movie, right? Honey, I shrunk the worship team. And wouldn't it be amazing to have a little wooden box and these guys were in it? And you're coming across Walmart and you see somebody really hurting and you go, whoa. And they're just right there. As soon as you open it, they're in it. Like, and you'd be like, oh, and you just float to their car. That would be awesome. Dude, that would be good. But that's not the reality. And most of the time it's you, your nerves, your feelings, God and the person. So what I try to do when we do this to teach is make the atmosphere as dry as I can. I do. I try to make it as dry as I can so it's not emotion, it's not works, it's not hype, and it's not even atmosphere. Even though atmosphere is amazing, because I believe the atmosphere is the kingdom of God that's in you. And greater is he that is. Go preach saying the kingdom of God's here. Where is it? Here. It's within you. Don't look here. Don't look there. It's here. When it says the kingdom of God is at hand, you know what that means? It means it's within reach. That's what the at hand means, in reach. It's within reach. You get it? So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. It's going to be fun. Let's just do it. And it won't even get crazy late. It's 8:27 because we started at 6. Whew, and you let them guys go, man. Thank you. Yeah. That was a fun time. There's two things you'll run into when you pray for the sick. You'll run into people that, there's a lot of sicknesses, but there's two situations you'll run into. You'll run into people that won't know if they're healed because of their situation. It's something that comes and goes. It's internal. It's on a test. They don't really have a symptom. They don't really know, but yet there's this thing there. You get what I'm saying? You have people that get migraines semi-frequently, but they don't have one. But you heard them talking about it. And they're just thankful today they're not laid up and paralyzed and laying on the couch. And they thought that maybe it's going to hit them anytime because it comes on a semi-regular basis. And it's been a little while. And they're kind of like dreading when it comes. And you hear them talking about that in the line in front of you. You ever run into that? You hear people talk like that? I was recently in the airport and heard two people talking just like that right behind me, sitting right behind me. I just spun around and said, hey, man, I just couldn't help but to overhear you. I'm sorry. It wasn't that you were talking so loud. I'm just sitting right behind you. And I heard what you said and listen. And please don't say no. It'd be amazing if you just let me pray for you. I just believe that'll never come back. And I don't need to preach to you. I'm just telling you, Jesus is real and he's Lord. And please let me pray for you. It would be awesome if you let me pray for you. It would really make my heart happy because I believe it'll never come back. And you can let time realize that. But if I could just pray for you, I'd be humbled by that. And they were like, I didn't even preach to them. I didn't even share nothing. I just prayed for them. And I just believed that I'm sowing into their life. And that God's going to water that. And that 4 weeks goes by and they're going, do you realize I haven't had a migraine since? I keep thinking it has to do with that dude in the airport. Well, yeah, but that guy was talking about Jesus. And he said he was praying to God and Jesus and how Jesus loved you. And Jesus was going to heal you, man. So if you didn't have a headache since then, and that's unnormal, I mean, this thing might be legit.
See how it works?
The kingdom of God is as if a man scatters. We're trying to get conversion, baptized, and Holy Ghost filled all in one prayer. And I'm just sowing seed. Some people were in the womb. They're about to come forth. Woo. Don't rip them out of the womb. Just sow into it. Some people reap where they haven't even sown, and then they're a great evangelist because they reap. No, it's because somebody sowed. We're supposed to just rejoice together. Some sow, some water. You share. There's religions out there. There's groups of people out there. It's very religious. So you share a testimony of a word of knowledge or somebody, or pray for that person, and they say, well, did you lead them to the Lord? Did you get them saved? They can't even receive the beauty of the testimony because they're so legalistic, like you have to pray the sinner's prayer or it's a flop. I'm not even thinking sinner's prayer. I'm thinking giving them Jesus. Well, did you lead them to the Lord? No, I gave him the Lord. Yeah? And I sowed into their life where I watered and God's bringing increase. And if they say to me, what must I do to be saved? That's an easy answer. I don't think we even talk about this. I think we're afraid to talk about this. There's no place in the Bible that they evangelize like we do today. And I know our motives are right, but I think we're misleading some things. And we're just trying to get people to repeat a prayer. Everywhere in the Bible they got saved, they cried out to be saved. They saw the people living their lives in Christ and said, what must we do to be like you? They were cut to the heart, Matt. And they said, men and brethren, what should we do? It wasn't an altar call. They didn't get the music right. These people saw genuine Christianity and said, I want whatever it is you have. I know our intentions are right, but I think our methods need looked at. I think we need to just start walking in the light and sowing seed and watering seed and let God be God and bring the increase. And if somebody jumps in the live well, praise God. And if you feel impressed to say, listen, do you even know him? Well, no. See, you get discernment. You know that. Who's ever been in that situation where somebody's moved and all of a sudden you just pop the question? Hey, do you even know him?
No. That's what I'm thinking about right now. You're telling me God just healed me. I don't even know him.
You want to?
Yes.
Who knows? That's easy at that point. But if you're just in a theological debate and you're just trying to get a head nod and get them to agree, what about just give them Jesus? I had a very well-known pastor. Say, well, what's the sense of having a word of knowledge and seeing them healed if you're not going to get them saved? A very well-known pastor that you would all know the name. And it made me cry that he had that shallow of a revelation. My Bible says, go into whatever city you're in and heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom of God is here. That's what we're doing. It doesn't say, and then make sure they recite the prayer that you all came up with in the last 80 years. As a better tool. Come on. We've been so brainwashed with certain things that it's hard to even preach through it. Whatever city you're in. What city? Whatever. Heal the sick there. What sick? The one God's leading you to? Or the sick? What's the word say? Is that right? And tell them, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay. So if you pray for the sick, before you tell them it's the kingdom, they don't even have anything to believe, and they don't even know one thing about Jesus or one thing to believe. So obviously they don't need a lick of faith to be healed. We just need to see. Who's representing the kingdom? Us, the believer. So whatever city you're in, what city?
Whatever.
Heal the sick there. What sick? Okay. And then tell them, the kingdom of God's here. That's why you're healed. So if they don't know till after they're healed, how do they even have faith? We're trying to get people to have faith before. That's for our sake sometimes. There was a blind man Jesus healed. It's an amazing story. He washed in the pool of Siloam. He was born blind. The Pharisees are grilling him, man. They're grilling him. They want to know who this man is and what do you think of him? And is he a prophet? He said, I don't know if he's a prophet. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. And then they said, well, this man's a sinner. He said, ain't that something? This man's a sinner and he heals a man that's born blind. Nobody has ever heard to this day of a man being healed that was born blind. And you guys are going to sit here and call him a sinner? I mean, this story is amazing. So they kick the guy out of the synagogue. He should have said, praise the Lord. You get out and don't come back. Woohoo! He's out on the street and he bumps into Jesus. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, tell me who he is, sir, so I might believe. He said, it's he who's talking with you. I believe. The guy had no clue who gave him his sight. But the one that gave him his sight knew who he was. Did the man have faith? He didn't even know who healed him. And he was born blind. It's all through your Bible. Almost every story is that way. There's only a handful of the 27 healings recorded or miracles that there was only a handful. There was only a couple times that people actually had faith. And twice they were outside of Israel and Jesus marveled because they had more faith than his own people. Isn't that something? So tonight we're going to pray for the sick and we're going to simply believe. Nobody's under pressure. We want every man to believe. But I'll tell you what, faith is a mustard seed, can move any mountain. So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. There's two things you'll run into. Oh my goodness, I don't know why. There's a man at the pool of Bethesda and he's sick 38 years. Guys, that's a long time. Jesus he'll flip you out if you don't. It's like he walks up to this guy and it's the last question I would have ever asked him. But he's Jesus and he knows what he's doing. He's making a draw on his need. He goes up and says to the man, the guy's at the pool. Why do you think he's at the pool? Because an angel of the Lord would come and stir the water, and the first one in would get healed of whatever. The first would get healed. Whoever was healed of whatever. You like those terms in your Bible. Whoever, whatever. But the guy can't get in the pool because he's so sick he can't get to the water. So when it stirs, everybody else is waiting for the water and start pushing and fighting and shoving and diving in. There ain't no laying down your life. Like if the Pharisees were cool, they'd have stopped the crowd and said, look, whoa, this dude has been here longer than y'all. The next time the water stirs, nobody get in. We're going to pick him up. We're going to lay the boy in here. See, they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, you know there's 6 days on which a man should heal. And you just seem to always have to pick up the wrong day. The woman, spirit of infirmity, 18 years. They've been doing temple for 18 years. They've been showing up on the right day. Jesus showed up at their church, mess up everything. Jesus showed up at their service. Compassion moved. You saw the woman who's been going there 18 years, faithfully out of culture, and just, you know she's going to that temple. He says, hey guys, ought this woman, shouldn't she be loosed? Seeing she's a daughter of Abraham, she's been infirmed and bound by the spirit of infirmity all these 18 years, shouldn't she be made whole? And they're like, wrong day, bud. Well, what about the other 6 days for 18 years? So you had 6 days for 18 years. And a guy walks in on the wrong day and heals her and you got a problem. Freaks me out. Religion is so awful. Oh, it's so awful. What'd she say? Woman, be loosed of your infirmity. And immediately she was straightway. You can't tell me anybody in the room had faith. Man with a withered hand. Hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They're doing it to trap him in front of the people to accuse him openly. The man with the withered hand's a scapegoat. He's a guinea pig. He's being used by the Pharisees. There's nothing about faith in that whole room. And Jesus just kills it, man. He says, let me ask you a question. Of who of you having a sheep, and if it fall in a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't pull it out? Of how much more value is this man than your sheep? Sir, stretch forth. What's he saying? I ain't healing him in spite of you. Has nothing to do with your motive, your day, your Sabbath, your misunderstanding, your blindness. I'm telling you straight up, the reason he's healing is because my Father loves him. The reason he's going to stretch forth his hand is because I value him and I see who he is in the sight of my God. Stretch forth your hand, sir. Bam. So much for their trap. Ain't that something? Why am I taking the time to share all this? I've heard pastors say, well, see, Jesus isn't ready to heal everybody. He doesn't heal everybody. There was thousands of porches. Theology says there was thousands of porches at the pool of Bethesda, and he only healed one. Why don't you read the next two verses? Three, four verses. The man gets up his bed, he mat, and he's strolling out through. That's a happy day for a man 38 years. He says, sir, Jesus said, sir, do you want to be made well? Jesus, don't ask him that. The poor guy's been laying here for 38 years. Why do you think he's laying here? Jesus says, do you want to be healed? It's almost shocking the guy didn't freak out and get sarcastic. Like, what do you think? But he's making a draw on the situation. The man answered beautifully. You know what the man said? He stayed calm and humble. And he said, sir, I have no one to help me. Every time the water stirs, somebody always gets in first. Jesus, what's he saying by saying this? He's saying, dude, you don't even realize who I am, but you got somebody to help you. He said, sir, take your bed. Get up and walk. Immediately gets up and walks. He's strolling down through. The Pharisees go, that's that sick dude. He rolled up his mat and he's carrying his mat. This is the Sabbath. You can't roll your mat up and carry your mat on the Sabbath. Isn't that ludicrous? He said, what is he carrying his mat on the Sabbath for? Sir, hey, it's not lawful for you to carry your mat on the Sabbath. He says, the man that healed me told me to take my bed and walk in. I'm doing it, man. 38 years, dude. I'm rolling up my mat and I'm walking. And they're like, no, no, no. Who is this man that told you to take your mat and walk? It said the man could answer not, for he knew not. For Jesus withdrew himself because of the crowds. They're always trying to make him natural king. He's always telling people, don't tell anybody what happened. And they'd go out. There's thousands of porches, and theologians say, well, see, God doesn't want to heal everybody. He just healed the one. There's thousands of people. What would have happened if all those porches would have cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us? That would have been some story. What do you think would have happened? Everyone. But Jesus withdrew himself because of the crowds. People are coming. They're going to make a scene. Make him natural king. They're going to... He just slipped away. It said, who's the man that healed you and told you to take him out? Said the man could answer not, for he knew not. If the man didn't know who healed him, how'd he have faith? Let's not complicate this thing like we have. Well, you just need more faith. Well, you got to have faith. Don't you ever tell somebody that hasn't received healing that. They should look at you and say, well, you said Christ is in you. Could you please give him to me? Let's stop pushing this thing around. And let's just keep growing up into him in all things. Okay, I took a lot of time. It just felt important to go over those stories. I just feel like we need to understand in this house that faith is a goal for every man, but don't let the absence of faith in a person disqualify them from what he paid for. Are you with me? The sign follows a believer, not those who are sick that believe. It's real simple. Tonight we're going to pray for the sick. You got a situation in your body. Sometimes you don't know if you're going to be, or you don't know if you're healed. Not you're going to be healed. You don't know if you are healed because there's no symptom. You don't have the migraine. It's internal. There's a growth on your ovary, and they found it in your annual checkup, and they're keeping an eye on it, and it's there, and they're thinking it could be causing this or that, but you don't have pain, and you don't know it's there because it's in the middle of your body. You see what I'm saying? There's stuff like that that people have that if they were healed, there'd be no way to really know in the moment except for just simple faith in your heart. Does that make sense? You'll run into that in your life. Pray for that. Believe and be sincere. Don't make that one easier than the other one. Don't say, oh man, I like those because they don't have symptoms. And then if nothing happens, I won't really know it. I'll just look for those. It's amazing that the number one reason I've found that people don't pray for the sick in their personal life is because they're afraid nothing will happen. And they don't want to be in an uncomfortable position. If you don't pray for people because you're afraid nothing will happen, then you already have what you're afraid of. Constantly. You always have nothing. And these signs follow those that they will lay hands on. Okay, so every time you don't lay hands on the sick, you're saying, I don't believe. I don't believe. It's a confession. It's an expression of no belief in that area. Are you with me? So we need to get our hands on the sick. Randy Clark, he's a beautiful man. I heard him say it a long, long time ago. I've never forgotten it. He said, I don't have any answers for all this stuff. And I know there's been a lot of pain and a lot of questions and a lot of, but he said, here's what I do know. Let's keep it simple. I thought, Randy, that's like grade school awesome. He said, here's what I know. The more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. So let's get our hands on the sick. And I'm like, Randy, that's just beautiful. So we're going to do it tonight. If you have a condition in your life today, right now, that if you were healed, you wouldn't know it. You'd have no idea you were healed except for simple faith in your heart, because it's not symptomatic. It's not like something torn and you can't lift your arm. We had a gentleman last night. It was so awesome. I said, what was your... He said, oh, I mean, I could go up to here. Anything past that is really like... And he's just like... And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I've watched several spouses in the last few months cry watching their spouse do something they know they couldn't do for a very long time. Fun, fun, fun. If you have a condition in your body, and if you were healed, there'd be no way to know because it's not symptomatic, but it'd be great if it would change and that thing would disappear, or your blood would line up, or your numbers would go right. I need you to quickly just stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you quickly. A condition that if you were healed, you wouldn't know. It's not symptoms. It's just a condition that you need changed. Just stand to your feet. Please don't stay sitting if you fit the description. Let's not come this far and then not go all the way. Please stand to your feet. Don't make me go fishing. I shouldn't have to call you out. Don't sit there and say, if he calls my thing, I'll get up. Don't tempt God like that. Just believe God. Don't get spooky. Just waiting. I just need to make sure you're all up. I feel like I'm waiting for somebody or two. So if you need to stand, please stand. We're going to move on, but I don't feel like we've got everybody. So if you got a condition that you wouldn't know if you were healed, thank you, ma'am. I just feel like I'm waiting on one more. Thank you for standing. One more. I feel like I'm waiting for one more. If you were healed, you wouldn't necessarily know it. But there's something in your life, in your body, that needs to change. That you? Good. Thank you. Okay. I got two for one. I just knew we weren't done. Why do I get those perceptions in the time like this when we already have a pile of people standing? We got plenty of people to pray for. We could pull this off. Because God wants everybody to stand because it's real. And he wants us to just learn to start believing him and not be afraid to believe in him. Yeah? So if you're sitting real close to one of them, just get a hand on them, tap them, ask if you can hold their hand. Don't smother them, just make it contact. Just make contact. Just say, hey, I'm going to believe for you right now. And here's how simple I want you to do this right now, okay? Okay, watch this. If you stood up, the people that stood up, just listen real quick. All I want you to do right now is believe this one thing. God has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. No matter what I've been through, no matter how long it's been, no matter how it hasn't changed, no matter what, I'm settling on my heart on this. God, you love me. Father, you love me or you'd have never sent your son. That's enough for me. You sending your son is the barometer of your love. I have measured your love through the cross, not my experience. And I'm being rooted and grounded tonight in this one thing. You love me. Isn't that cool? You believe that right now. If you're praying for him, you believe that with him. That God would have never done this if he didn't love people, right? And in the authority of the name of Jesus, I want you to be real simple tonight and just say something like this. We didn't even ask him what's wrong. We don't have to. If you'd see how much feedback I'm getting from little scenarios like this, little settings, and how many people are being changed, it shouldn't be so overwhelming because it should just be the way it is. But it seems overwhelming because there's so many things happening because we're just stepping out like children and believing. Here's what I want you to say. Be made whole in Jesus' name. No more sickness. No more symptoms. Completely changed. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your love. Amen? And amen. Good. Why don't you jump back to your seats quick? That's just good. That's simple. And that's awesome. It seems too simple. I think that's the problem. But it's not that simple. It cost Jesus everything. It cost his life. It cost 30 years on the earth before time was even ready for ministry. It cost 3 more years of imparting in life, injustice, crucifixion, beat beyond description, death, raised from the dead. It's not simple. He's just that good. He gave us that. That's amazing to me. That he paid this price and allows us to step into what he paid for by faith. Man, what a deal. What a God. So our next group is who? People that would know they're healed if they're healed. Because they absolutely have symptomatic stuff. You got blown out knees. You got bone on bone. You can't lift arms. You can't bend right. You can't do certain things. You got an ankle that's frozen. You got something that's even medically frozen, a wrist. Something that's symptomatic that we want to pray for tonight to believe God changes that. Does that make sense? So I need you to stand, please. If it's hard to stand, and if you can't stand, but you want prayer, make sure I know who you are. You can stay sitting if you want to, dear. Anybody else can't stand? It's uncomfortable to stand, and you'd like somebody to just meet you where you're at? Anybody? Okay, everybody good? Okay, I need everybody that fits that description to please stand to your feet. If you need healing in your physical body, don't stay sitting if you have something going on that's less than wholeness. Just simple stuff. Even like, it's not simple, but what I mean is it's stuff you take for granted sometimes. You think, well, I mean, I am 62. No wonder I have arthritis. Where do you find that in Scripture? Why did we study fallen man and take the identity of fallen man? Why do you read a study and say by age what and what, this has to happen? I don't believe God intended that or gave that to Adam. I think the fall of man gave that to man. There's nowhere where God says my body has to become all those things at a certain age. Let's stop letting the lie of aging have its place in our life. Arthritis, I'm telling you, if you have arthritis pains in your body and you have evidence of arthritis, you should be standing. Because I'm telling you, that can come out of you tonight. And I feel like I got a couple people. It's like four or five people. So stand to your feet real quick if you have any symptoms. Well, sure. Yeah, if you fit both descriptions. Who stood up with that arthritis thing that I said about? Did I get a couple people? Yeah. Okay, good. I knew it was at least five of you. That's six. We'll take it. Yeah, I don't want you in your chairs. I wouldn't get those little discernments. I wouldn't pick out that topic if it wasn't in the room. And why would God give that to me? Because it's real and it's about to happen. He doesn't want you sitting. He wants the just to live by what? Faith. Okay, so here's the deal. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. You're the best he's got tonight. I'm serious. And if you're uncomfortable or saying, well, I don't want to do this, then I really want you on my team. Because you're not going to be self-confident. You're not going to bring all your years of ministry training in. And in the name of Jesus, you're going to be scared. And you're just going to believe God loves them. And you're going to be like, Jesus. Raise your one hand up if you're standing for prayer. Raise one hand up just so people know who you are. If you stood up for prayer, raise one hand so we don't lose you in the crowd. Please, the people sitting, especially if you're nervous. Go grab somebody and don't pray yet. Just go grab them and say, hey, I'm nervous and I'm taking you. Smile and say, I've never done this before. Don't pray yet. We're going to do it together. Just go claim somebody. Go find them one-on-one till we get the room covered. And then you can stand around and kind of tag team. Put your hand down if you're claimed. If somebody got you, put your hand down. The only hands I want up is if you're still waiting for someone. I got one. Okay, you got her? Come on out of your row, honey. Right here? Yes. Yeah, come on out and stand so you guys can pray together and talk together. You don't have to lean like that. I want you to get comfortable and get with her. I got three hands back there in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Three women of God waiting for three people that'll believe. Y'all going? Look at you all running. Man, you got an army coming now. Like what? Like that thing is in trouble. Anybody else still waiting to be, have a partner? Are we all covered? Okay, good. Okay, we're going to do this together. Just pay attention. We'll do it as timely as we can, but this is fun. Don't ever get familiar with this. This is all learning and growing. This is going to be fun. It really is. It's going to be fun. So we're going to pray. I want you to take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds, and tell the person that's standing with you why you stood up and what you're believing for. You can give them the 3-second version. Don't give them a long story. Just tell them what it is. Just say, yeah, I need my eyes healed. Man, I got pain in my hips. I got arthritis in my fingers and joints, whatever. 3 seconds, you should know. Okay? Y'all good? Everybody know? Good. Everybody got it? Okay, good. You got it? Awesome. So here's the deal. Let me ask you this. Who's ever prayed for the sick before in the room? Anybody? Okay, that's a pile of hands. Now watch this. I know this kind of is going to make us chuckle uncomfortable, but bear witness to this when I say it. If you ever have prayed for the sick, tell me if you've experienced this or if you believe this is true when I say it. When we go to pray for the sick, we put all our focus on what we say, how we pray. We try to pray right, pray anointed, and pray powerful. Anybody know what I'm talking about that's prayed for this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, let me just share some good news with you. None of those things ever have anything to do with why somebody's healed. Your prayer has never, ever healed anybody. That's pretty good. That's super encouraging. So I probably should quit trying so hard. Because see, if somebody's getting healed that way and you think it's the reason, it slips into works. And it's your prayer, so we ought to all go to prayer college and you should be the dean. Watch. Be made whole in Jesus' name is probably enough if there's a revelation. Stretch forth your hand. Take your bed and walk. Receive your sight. It's all through your Bible. It's not a long prayer covering their generations, rebuking, binding, loosing, and quoting 10 scriptures. So tonight, because I love you, I'm only going to give you 5 seconds to pray. Because you can't get in trouble in 5 seconds. You can't get self-conscious. You can't get into works. There's no one that can mess this up tonight. Because I love you. I'm giving you 5 seconds. You know why I'm giving you 5 seconds? Because that's what the Lord told me to do a long time ago. He said, tell people to just believe me. Come on. It's not your prayer that heals the sick. It's his finished work and his love for people. And if the people being prayed for would just step out and believe tonight that God loves them no matter what they've gone through and how long they've gone through it, that he loves me or he'd have never sent his son. And let that trump every other thing that tries to challenge his love. And if the people praying for those people would just believe the same thing, that God loves them and values them, it gives you an actually authority to believe because faith works through. So is everyone qualified to pray for the sick? Is everyone qualified to receive what he paid for? So here's how simple it is in 5 seconds. If they told you they have a torn rotator cuff, if they told you their knees are degenerated, knees, you'd be completely restored, bend, flex without pain in Jesus' name. Who knows, you can pray that in 5 seconds or less and be sincere and put all your faith in what he's done. Who knows, we can actually do this.
Yeah.
Back be completely whole. Arthritis, you leave. Every symptom go. In Jesus' name. 5 seconds. That's all I'm giving you tonight. That's all we need. Okay. They're going to pray in a moment for 5 seconds. It's not legalistic. It's not like everybody has to silence in 5 seconds. I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And you'll probably get like 6 or 7 seconds. You get like 2 freebie seconds. And then you start to wrap it up like in the name of Jesus. Right? When we wrap it up, I want the people that were prayed for as they're being prayed for just to believe this one thing. I don't want you gritting your teeth and bouncing and saying you're trying to receive. Stop. Just stop. Yesterday. Stop. I just want you at peace and believing God loves you. He never sent his son. I don't want you striving. I don't want you breaking down and just crying because the thing's been so long and you're like full of emotion and hope and now this is crunch time. No, we're not reducing faith to a point in time tonight. We're just going to let faith be the position of our heart. And we're just going to believe God. So after you're prayed for, you're believing God loves you or he never sent his son. And we wrap it up and they say amen. In sincerity, without exaggeration, I want everybody we prayed for to begin to check their bodies. Because everyone we prayed for is symptomatic. So we'll all know. I don't want you to be quick and rash. I want you to really check your body. Don't look at the big brown eyes that prayed for you and the sincere young lady and think, I cannot tell her I still have pain. Is it better? How are you feeling? Oh, it's good. Lie. That's a lie. See, I don't want you lying tonight. I want you healed. I read in Revelations, if you lie, you fry. So we don't want any friars. We want healed. I'm just having fun with you, but don't exaggerate, embellish, don't say you're fine to protect somebody. We're all in this together. If you don't see any change in your body, you have no permission to run your mind. I just analytical thinking, man, I just rebuke it from the house. Like, let's just shut it down. Let's say, wait a minute. I'm going to watch what God's doing. I'm going to stay engaged. And this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to check our bodies. And when you know you're healed, You make sure to let me know that you know. But only do this when you know. And make sure you know. Are you with me? I don't want exaggeration. I want healing. If you're somewhat healed and you go, man, I'm seriously 50% better. I'm 70% better. I'm 80%. I'm 40%. Whatever it is, you just know that it's different than a minute ago when we prayed. You tell your person, hey, I just want to let you know. This thing is like 50%. Go. Take them right away. Say, Father, thank you for what you're doing. You're a finished work. Your love is amazing. In Jesus' name, be completely made whole. And just give them another 5 seconds. All right? You say, where's that in Scripture? Well, Jesus prayed for a blind man. He said, what do you see? He said, man, I see men. They kind of look like trees. He prayed again and said, what do you see? He said, I see men as they are. Isn't that cool? If you don't feel any change in your body, don't run your mind. Don't say, I knew I shouldn't have stood up. I'm the only one that always seems to never get healed. It's me and maybe a group of people. This is about the 26th time I vowed I'd never stand up again. And here I am in this position because this man forced me to my feet. Stop. Yesterday. I want you to stay humble. Believe God loves you. Listen to a couple testimonies. Thank God he's a healer and appreciate what he's doing in people. Shut off your mind and stop taking this lack of seemingly results personal and running your mind. And just believe he's good and thank him that he's doing something in you, just like you're hearing he's doing in others. And then as you release in faith, keep checking your body. Listen to another testimony or two and check your body. And I'm telling you, if we'll learn to never let go and not change our mind, like popcorn in a bag, we'll just keep seeing people change tonight. And it's just going to keep changing. There's nothing anybody can do to stop that. Are you hearing me? Are you all ready? See, because it's not a ministry of healing. It's not it's a believer priesthood. It's just people that know and believe their God. So guess who gets all the glory? He does. And we just reap the benefit of his goodness. Isn't that sweet? Sounds like a pretty good covenant to me. Are you all ready? You know what you're doing? You didn't forget what you're praying for. Would you look at your person and make them real uncomfortable? Like, look at them like God loves them. Like, look at them with real warm eyes or something. Like, yeah? Are y'all ready? Are you really ready? I'm just having fun with y'all. You ready? You got 5 seconds. You heard what they're believing for. You got 5 seconds. Go ahead. Give them the kingdom right now. Simple faith. Okay, start winding that down. Thank you, Lord. Start winding that down. Yep, just come to a close. That's plenty. That's good. Thank you, Father, for what you do. All right, thank God he loves you. If you were prayed for, just make sure you're believing that God just loves me or he'd never send his son. Go ahead and start checking your bodies. Some people know right away just because of their situation. Some people need to take a time, really check it. I want you to check it. I want you to check it. Check it out. Check it out. When you know you're healed, when you know you're healed, let me know. I need to know when you know. You know for sure? You definitely know. Who else? Did I see somebody out of the corner of my eye? Yeah, two people. You know for sure. Definitely. You know for sure. Yeah? Come on, man. Anybody else know for sure that they were healed? Checking your bodies. We're still checking. Just check. If you feel somewhat changed, have your person do another 5 seconds with you. If you felt no change, you can ask them, you can tell them, and just pray one more time, real quick. Keep checking. Anybody else, since we've been checking, that didn't raise yet, that knows they're healed? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, let's do this right now. I need your attention. We're going to grow together and work together. Watch how this works. This is going to be awesome. The Lord's going to teach us what it means to just keep believing. Let me see who knows they were healed. Who's my people that know they're healed? Yeah? You do? Did that just happen? Yeah? Good, because your hand wasn't up a minute ago. You realize it? What's going on? You're smiling big. What's happening? What was up with your ankle? All jacked up. All the time? Real easy to find the problem, like real easy to feel it? Is it completely healed? Completely. You can't find one bit of nothing. That's beautiful. How long was your ankle like that?
About a week.
Okay. So you did something to it. You hurt it bad. It's just completely fine, like it was never hurt. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Right behind you, there's a lady smiling. What happened? What's... Listen to these testimonies, guys. Let's stop praying for each other and just listen. Give thanks to God and then check your bodies as they're testifying.
I have heart problems, but I've been having palpitations nonstop, especially all night tonight. It just felt like it's going to my chest. It's gone.
You know, the palpitations just completely left? Okay, so that's dramatic change. Good. That's beautiful. Okay, good. And you know it because it's your body. It's beautiful. Just thank God that he's here. You didn't have your hand up earlier. Did you just realize you're changed? Okay, it's better? Good. That's beautiful. How much better?
All better?
All better? Totally better? When you said my knee's better, I thought better means somewhat.
For like 3 weeks,
it doesn't bother you at all right now? Did it completely go away? Okay. And you just kept checking and they believed. Isn't that beautiful? Who prayed with you? You're telling me Jesus is in those ladies? Yeah? That's beautiful. Who else? Anybody else have another testimony? Who knows you were healed when we prayed? Anybody? There were some people over here that said they were healed. Where'd my hands go? Oh, okay. You back in the back. Holler it out, man. Okay. Wow. Do you feel change? You don't even have pain? No limitations? You just feel totally freedom? Oh my goodness, that's so beautiful. To you, help us to understand, to you, what's different in your body based on what it was like before they prayed? Okay. So you couldn't move without purpose and intention and total freedom. And right now you're moving like you haven't even been able to move since when? How long has it been since you could move like that?
Oh, I've never been able to move like that.
What? And you're 79? Oh my goodness. Are you serious? Thank you, Lord. Who prayed for you? Jesus, living inside of young ladies. Come on. If you need to check your bodies right now. Did anybody else change since he shared that? I feel like somebody's changed. What's going on back there? Okay, good. You notice that? You can tell that? Good. And what's going on? Is it your hips, your knees? What's going on with the cane and just
I just from working in the factory all my life.
Okay. Okay. A couple of you standing around, just begin to pray for something beautiful to change concerning his back. And we're going to take this young man right here. What happened to you, young man? You're waving and raising your hand. So it was something that you could feel all the time. Like it's been going on for a long time at your young age. It's just like you messed it up somewhere along the line and it was just bothering you. So you're doing the things that would have normally made it hurt and you have no pain whatsoever. That's beautiful. Isn't that good? Man, there's no hype here. It's just raw. We made the room dry. I didn't get all flowy with you. We just prayed, man. Who else? What about back here? You lifted your hand, man. What's going on? Yeah.
I had a torn rotator cuff.
Okay.
I had them both operated on.
You had surgeries.
I fell this winter, went in, had an MRI, and I tore it again.
Mm.
But they said they couldn't operate because I got some issues.
Oh.
And I was just suffering with pain. I couldn't lift my arm. And these angels prayed for me.
You couldn't lift your arm. Show me what you could do before they prayed. What was your limit?
Like
that was it right there?
If I put my arm around her, I could not
Here's what he's doing, guys. This is all he could do. And if he extended his arm, like to put his arm around somebody, you paid a price. Look at him. Thank you, Lord. God, you're good. That's just fun stuff, man. I've been in services where wives are dressing their husbands because they can't use their shoulders. And their husband's over there testifying, slipping on a jacket off and on. And their wife's over praying for somebody. And they're like, that sounds like my husband. And they're like, because they've been dressing them for years. It's just fun. Anybody else have a testimony quick before we move on? Yeah?
I have full mobility of my knee.
Full mobility. So when you say destroyed it, you couldn't flex like that? What was your limit? What was it like? Just go up.
I probably couldn't go past here without any pain.
Okay. Okay, the pain was just there. That thing ain't biting at all. You can do anything. You've been checking it. I've been seeing you over there just like this. Yeah? Man! Guys are from Virginia. They came up for the men's conference. The one in the middle is from Vermont. They're in love with Jesus and they're going after God. Amen? Yeah. I was preaching today. The man from Vermont, he said, dude, I always watch you on YouTube. I can stop and pause and digest and get. Today, you were just poof, and I couldn't stop the tape. It wasn't no tape. He said, you were throwing haymakers. I said, good. I was in the ring, man. Anybody else have a testimony before we move on? Yes. Completely gone. That's so beautiful. Are some of these things changing in time? Like, did that just happen or has that happened a while back? No, I mean the healing part. Did it just change or had it been changed after the... Slowly changing and right now it's just going. It's beautiful. Yes. Okay, you couldn't do that? You still can't go up? Oh. What? Was it completely frozen? Like, you couldn't go up at all? You definitely couldn't go like that. What was it like before they prayed? What was it like? Show me your limit. Before, it just, you couldn't go that way. It was just like, ugh. And you can go up? Things are just happening. Was that just changing the whole time? Was that just getting better as we were talking and testifying? Popcorn in a bag. I'm telling you, there's more popcorn to pop in this room. Who here, you didn't raise your hand yet because you're not 100%, but you're definitely changing. You know it's better. Who knows they're better right now? You know you're better. It changed somewhat. You're not all the way, but you're changed. Let me see who you are. Keep your hands high. Look around. Is that your person with their hand up? Is your person still right with you? Did they leave you? Don't leave your person. Go back to your person. You're not getting a new person either. Come on. Keep your hands up. Look around. Is that your person? Go grab them. And let's pray for 5 more seconds. I want to see what happens in the room. Somebody right there? If your person left, somebody grab them. Put your hand up. We're going to grab you for 5 more seconds. We're going to pray. No, this is exciting. I feel like God's going to teach us something beautiful. Teach us how to never change our mind, not turn faith into a point in time, or a maybe he will, maybe he won't, but believe him. Go ahead, pray for 5 seconds right now over that person. You're somewhat changed and it's not 100%. Believe God right now for 100%. Speak it over him, 100%. Thank you, Father, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, in Jesus' name. What's going on with you over there walking around? What are you checking? Your what? Yeah? What? Okay, what were stairs like? Hard? Yeah? Would you be willing to do it with me? I just feel like there's something beautiful about you going up the stairs.
Yeah, that's a lot easier.
That's easier, isn't it? Yeah, I just saw you going up the stairs. You wouldn't have even wanted to do that?
No.
Run up there by yourself. Is that different?
Yeah?
I saw you going upstairs. I thought, I'm just going to ask you to do it and be bold. I just felt like God was going to show you. Sometimes you're hurt so long, you learn to live that way, and you even live protective and don't realize it because you're trying to avoid pain. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. She said, I got to do that again. Changed? Is that awesome? Yeah. Yeah. Just good. Don't ever get tired of this, guys. Anybody else now? We just prayed for the people that weren't 100%, but they were somewhat changed. That group we just prayed for. Anybody else changed since we just prayed? Anybody else changed? You, ma'am? Right there? Yeah? What happened? She fell and broke her hip. Oh, with the hip, it affected knees. Yep. You guys following her? She hurt her hip, and the way it was hurting her to walk, it like started to affect her knees. Yeah. You don't feel any pain. You hear the emotion in her? Because it's her body. And she knows what it would normally feel like. Normally you could find pain if you looked for it, right? Would you stretch your hands to this woman, please, as the body of Christ? Father, we just thank you for total restoration in every way. We thank you this hip will never bother her. We thank you her knees will function strong and well, no matter her age, no matter how long she's here, God. We thank you for wholeness in her life. And it's just a mark of your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Anybody else in that last round? We had just prayed for you and things got better or you went 100%, that last group. Yeah? What happened?
My hands were numb.
So they were numb, like a neuropathy numb?
No.
Like a carpal tunnel kind of numb?
I don't know. They just were numb.
Okay.
I don't know by carpal tunnel or what. But I couldn't even lift my hands up, like they would go numb. And these guys prayed for me. This, my right hand was healed completely, and then this one, as I was worshiping.
And just listening. Completely normal. Guys, this is good stuff. Anybody else? Testimony. Anybody else in that last group? Something changed. So here's the thing. So you say, no, it's not, but it's somewhat, okay? So listen, faith's not a point in time. You don't say, man, what am I doing wrong? Why am I only walking in half an anointing? So I've heard all this. I've heard people come up with these kind of assessments. No, God is moving. God is changing something. You pray for somebody on the street that doesn't even know what's coming and they're 50% changed. I'm promising you they're flipped out and they're like, it's really better. And they're trying to convince you that it's better. And you're like, no, I believe you. I want to see that other 50%. Can we pray again? I've never one time had somebody that was legitimately beginning to change tell me, no, we can't pray again. They're like, yeah. And then you pray and they might get 10%, 20%, 30% better. I'm not trying to figure all that out theologically. I just know this. Better plus better plus better is sooner or later going to equal what? Totally whole. So we're just like, can we do one more time? Todd and I prayed for a lady one time. It was so beautiful. She was injured in an accident. Her neighbor was standing there. She was a Catholic lady. She's smoking a cigarette and she's throwing some words out there that kind of fascinated us because she looked like a grandmother type, little on the rough side, but she still had that grandmother look and she's throwing an F word and a this and that and her coming. And we're like, oh dear Jesus. And we said, can we just pray for you? She said, what? You want to pray for me? And every time we went to pray, she'd lay down her cigarette and she'd be like, okay, so we'd pray. As soon as we said amen, she'd pick it right up. We did change. She said, no, it's the same and blah, 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 blankety blank. And she'd making some jokes about God. And, can we just pray one more time? She'd lay it down. We pray. And all of a sudden she goes, and her eyes get that look. And she's like, her neighbor cried when this lady knelt down and got back up and knelt down. And I have to repent. Because when she knelt down, I was thinking, girl, it'd do you good to stay right there for a while. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I thought that's a good posture. Just stay there. Her neighbor cried and said, there's no way she could do that. I said, he's the Lord. Todd and I prayed for a lady in Reading. Her hands were so messed up from arthritis, they were all going in the same direction. and she couldn't like even pick up silverware. You ever see that? I bet we prayed 13 or more times. We weren't asking God to heal. We were saying, arthritis, you go. Arthritis, you leave. You come out of her in Jesus' name. This lady's just being kind. She's letting us pray over and over. She said, wow, you guys are really sincere. You're really going after this. And you know, Todd, he's like, and we're praying. I mean, he's a pit bull with dreads. And we're like praying. We watched her fingers change and all of her knuckles turn. And her fingers change. We watched it. Why? Because on the fifth time, we didn't change our theology. As long as she's saying we can pray, we're not praying for God to heal, God to heal, God to heal, God to heal. We're taking authority. Arthritis, you leave. Arthritis, you leave. Come on, you guys. If you had a rock sticking out of your yard and you wanted to break it down and get it under your grass line so you could mow with ease, and you just wanted to break the top off of that rock because it's sticking 4 inches above your soil level, and you take a big old sledgehammer. I know you guys. Come on. You go out there and you swing that thing and that rock just sits there. Guess what you're doing? Jesus' name. Bam! By the sixth strike, you're like, you got momentum you didn't even know you had. This thing is on, rock, you're going down. You know what I mean? That's just how people are. Why don't we do that in faith? Why don't we do that with prayer? Why don't we just stand there and keep pounding the thing that looks like it's just looking back at us and ain't moving? I'll tell you what, about 13, don't write a book on this, but about 13 or so times in, we're praying for that lady. There's no theology behind that. It's just that we wouldn't change our mind and something happened. And you want a hard rock to break, just keep hitting it till it cracks. And that's what we did with that arthritis, and we saw it change. Are you following what we're saying? Last thing, and then we got to quit, man. It's still only 9:24. It seems so early. And you all know, see, I preached last night, this morning, this afternoon, question and answer, drove home, changed my shirt, and came right back. You can see how wore out I am. You can see how much I'm fading on you. So if I had to run like that today, you can hang with me just for a little. Here's our last thought. There's people here that we need to ask you. If nothing changed when we prayed, and even up until now, you've been listening, you've been believing God loves you. And you've been checking your bodies, but it still seems to be the same that it was when we prayed the first time. Don't you be ashamed. It's a solid question, and I'm not afraid to address it. I need to know who that is in the room. Let me know who you are. Nope, hold your hand up and leave it up. Hold your hand up and leave it. No, it's not a weird feeling. Don't feel like odd man out. No. Because faith's not a point in time. Faith's not a point in time. I need to see if you can. You can stay sitting. I need you guys to stand up if you can. If it's hard to stand up, stay sitting. There's a situation in your life that you stood up for and believed for, and it's still the same. It hasn't changed. Is your person still here? Is your person still here? You're not getting another person. You're not like, who was it that prayed for that lady? Is your person here? Oh, right here? Good. No, you're enough in the Holy Ghost. Jesus in you's plenty. You got your person? Everybody got their person. If you don't have your person, wave. You got your person? Pastor? Boom. Everybody covered? Let's just do this. In the body of Christ, let's just believe. Because who knows the tendency is when you're listening to all these testimonies and you've been prayed for and it hasn't changed. Your first impulse is, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? Why am I never healed? And the longer it goes, the bigger this challenge is right here. Who knows I'm telling the truth about that? And we need to somehow try to override that and say, you know what? As much as that makes sense, I got to push that off and just stay in love with Jesus because he's in love with me. And I just receive in his goodness and I'm just positioned for God to change my situation. We're going to pray for that group of people. Let me see your hands real quick. How many we are and know where you're at. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, about 18, 17 people. Okay. You ready to go, guys? You ready to pray and give them 5 seconds? Just 5 seconds of kingdom prayer and faith. Just believe right now. Go ahead. Same prayer you prayed the first time. Don't change your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Just pray the same thing you believed. Come on, you watch and see what God does. I'm serious. Same thing. Jesus' name. He's going to teach us tonight. Okay, man, that's way long. Wrap it up. In Jesus' name. Wrap it up. That's good. Wrap it up. We're not trying harder this time. Same belief. In Jesus' name. Now, believing God loves you or He never sent His Son, I want those 17 or so people to start checking your bodies. Start checking your bodies. Start checking your bodies. And when you know something changed, let me know what changed. Let me know in that group. Check your bodies. Who here knows something changed in my last group? That last group. Anybody change? Something changed? Somewhat? Somewhat. How much? Half? About 50? Yeah, that's what I was hearing. Like 50. About 50%? Where's your person? Who prayed for you? There, you're just getting tag teamed. Surround her one more time. Thank God for 50% and pray for a finished work. Anybody else change it? Watch, this lady hasn't changed the whole time. And that last 5 second prayer, she goes 50%. What's that teach us? Don't ever change your mind. Don't draw the conclusions and don't let go because of rational thinking. You hold on to God. Yeah? Who else? Who changed somewhat in that time? Yeah, I got two back here. Whoop, whoop. There's a glare, but I think I see you. Is that Kathy? Oh, Kathy. What happened? Is it noticeably better? Noticeably. It hadn't changed at all till that last little 5 seconds? Wow. No, is that exciting or what, guys? This should be like super encouraging. Who else? Was there somebody right in front of you that raised their hand? Yeah? No? Anybody else? Who? What happened? What's going on? Who? What? Who are you pointing to? Is there somebody that something changed? We're just talking about the group where nothing changed until that last prayer. We just prayed and something changed. Who is it? Anybody? Back here? Yeah? Okay. So you just felt it get even better that last 5 seconds. So what's that telling this guy? And what's it telling all of us? Don't ever let go. Don't stop believing what you believe. Don't let circumstances change faith. Don't let it change truth. Right? Anybody else? That's exciting to me, man. Look at this. This is another person and another person. Who? What's going on? Right. Wow. Yeah, you look like you're straightening a little as you're talking just because there's something building in you. But Father, we just thank you for straightening her bones, her body, her back. We sure thank you for no pain. Who knows pain is a bummer? And when you get no pain, that's a big deal. Yeah. So Father, we just thank you that your hand and your grace is truly upon her. And no matter how long ago, no matter how long it's been, we thank you. You're good and you're doing a work in her body and we believe it in the authority of Jesus' name. Father, let her go to bed. Let her wake and find herself straighter, straighter, straighter. And thank you. No pain. I declare this, Father, that this night of sleep is uninterrupted by pain. And I thank you, Lord God, that this woman sleeps in your presence and in your goodness. And I thank you for wholeness in her life in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Nothing changed until that last 5 seconds. I just think it's so beautiful that all these people are responding. You see, where does that leave me if nothing changed still with me? It's just that still that same thing. The Christian only ever has one response. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for loving me. Period. Watch. My mom was sick for 40 years and that's all she knew. She never complained. She didn't. 40 years is real. The last 15 years of her life, she didn't get out of bed. People changed her diapers. Tubes were feeding her and going to the bathroom for her. Like, tubes. And she'd just smile and say, hi. Because she was a daughter before she was an MS patient. And she just held on to something that whole time. It was astounding to me. Yeah? She never changed her mind. We prayed. I never saw her change. Here I am standing, leading a little thing, believing for God to heal, and watch my own mother not be healed for 40 years. It doesn't change the gospel. I open my Bible. It says the same thing. So I'm going to keep believing it and grow into it until I see the fruit of it. I'm not going to love my own life unto death. You get it? Amen. Is there anybody else has a testimony before we close? Something just changed in that last little bit of moment. Did we miss anybody? We got everybody? Okay, lift your hands with me, would you, to Jesus? Father, we just thank you for who you are, what you're doing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoring every person, even that last group. Man, it was 17, 18 people, Lord. Like five of them said something changed later, four of them, five of them. Father, I just thank you. Your grace is on everyone. I thank you especially for that group, that you guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus, that you reveal yourself to them and that their bodies continue to change. Man, all we know to do is just lay hands on them and believe with sincerity. And we thank you. It's your grace that's changing their bodies. Father, I thank you tonight is different. I thank you tomorrow when they wake is different. I thank you, Lord, that they see restoration in their situation. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for guarding our heart in it. And Father, we're doing what we know to do to guard our heart in that word. So Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. If it's late, I'm sorry. Bless you. Anybody need to close? Pastor, anybody? We good? Love somebody. Hug somebody. God bless you all.